When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Slendy, hey, you already know what's up. What's that, another home run? But you know the job ain't done till we hold that trophy up.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome, episode 583 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. Ben Fadden with you here. It is April 7th, 2024. Apologies, I was trying to do this show a little bit earlier today, but life is life, so we're doing it now. Padres visit the San Francisco Giants for three games, a brief road trip, if that's what you want to call it. Usually road trips are like two, three cities, and then you come back home, but this one, obviously the homestand, home opener, then there was the Cardinals series, and then go to San Francisco for three games. Then they come back home tomorrow for three games against the Cubs. All three games, by the way, are at different times, so that's weird. And the day game is going to be at 3:40, I think, not at 1. Anyway, then there's the off day. Then they go to play at LA against the Dodgers. So it's an interesting schedule here, but the Padres, they get like every Thursday off this month, which is good, especially with where the Padres are at, where they're not really playing that great of baseball all around. Like, things aren't clicking all around right now. Sure, pitching, starting pitching. I mean, if we're going to be encouraged by anything right now, it is the starting pitching. Like, props to everyone this time around in this rotation. Everyone. You look at Darvish, quality outing. Musgrove, same thing. Dylan Cease, quality start. I know it was wasted, but quality start. And then Michael King, seven innings. Thank goodness they won yesterday. I was talking on my post-game reaction yesterday about how, yeah, it was so big because this avoids the sweep. If, you know, because I didn't like the matchup, Matt Waldron against Logan Webb earlier today for the series finale, but Matt Waldron ends up pitching well. Like, everyone pitched well this time around. So the rotation, I think Padres fans got to be more encouraged this time around from this rotation. We'll see how consistent it can be. But the offense, it's not where it needs to be. It needs to be more consistently better, obviously. 0-for-11 in one of the recent games with runners in scoring position. Today they go 2-for-11 with runners in scoring position. They leave seven guys on base, so they had their opportunities, didn't cash in. And then you get the one, like, crap defensive game from Ha-Sung Kim. And so I'm not going to like freak out about that, but it is a game that they lost here that they were up 2-0 in the sixth inning, right? And they weren't able to get the win. And so that's going to sting. Like, you had the lead against Logan Webb. Again, you win the Logan Webb game the first time, and you were in position to win this game against Logan Webb. They got 10 hits off of Logan Webb, and they scored 2 runs off of it. I'm sorry, I think that's a little underwhelming there. And hopefully they got Logan Webb at the right time, because I just don't think that he is going to give up 10 hits, you know, the rest of the year. But it's still just disappointing to me that they weren't able to capitalize on that today. And they weren't able to win this series. They still have not won a series, by the way. I'm going to get to the chat, obviously, here live on YouTube. If you want to join the show, you can click that link that's pinned up at the top of the chat. But yeah, I'll just go through these 3 games in this series. And then there's some other stuff that I may hit on as well. But yeah, thank you to everyone that is here on this, what is today, Sunday? Feels like a Monday to me, but Sunday night. I'm sure some are going to be watching or listening to this on replay on Monday. But yeah, overall, just disappointed with how this series ended up going. When you get quality outings from your starting pitching and you can't take advantage of it, I wasn't even asking for a sweep, but a series win. I mean, take out the first. I know it's not actually taking out the first inning because you can't take it out, but if you take out the first inning of yesterday, the offense did like nothing in this series. And it was great that Jurickson Profar hit the grand slam, but it did nothing after that. And then today, 2-for-11 with runners in scoring position. And then in game 1, 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position, not the best. And that's when you got a Dylan Cease quality start. Matt Tsui didn't give up any runs. Peralta, ending on a third, didn't give up any runs. De Los Santos did. But a quality outing from Dylan Cease wasted. Padres lose 3-2. Sure, that was the Giants' home opener. They had all that. Cease did leave that one pitch over the middle of the plate to Conforto. Makes it 1-1. Tatis, though, gives them the lead. It's 2-1. There was the Tatis slide, and the momentum took him in to, I want to say it was Estrada in that spot. And so a run ends up getting taken off the board there, and that ends the inning, which sucked. But that's one of those where it's like, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do about it? But the Padres, they still had opportunities. Bottom of the ninth. 2-2 game. I believe, I want to double check here. In that bottom of the ninth inning, the runner got on via free pass. It's not like they earned it there in that ninth inning. Yeah, Matt Chapman hit by pitch. And then, like I said in my post-game reaction after that game, like the relay was good. It was fine. Actually, more than fine, but you couldn't do anything about it. It was great. Good throw by Kim, set up well. Some people were pointing out maybe they play a little bit deeper in that spot to prevent that. But, I mean, it's Oracle Park. I don't know how much more the Padres could have done in that situation. Chapman just scored. You can't hit a guy in that spot. You can't give away free passes in that spot. In the ninth inning, tie game like that. They were tired. Peralta, he was pitching then. He was able to get Michael Conforto to fly out in that situation. And Conforto's been a Padre killer. But yeah, that one sucked because, again, you get that quality outing from Cease. And, like, you're in the game, obviously, the entire time. Jordan Hicks, 7 innings, 1 run. Couldn't do anything off of him, really. You didn't get 10 hits like you did off Logan Webb. You got 5 hits off of Hicks in game 1. But it's just one of those where, like, you're in the game and you really want to win that game. It's not like the Giants had it all the way. And then it was great to win yesterday, obviously, to avoid the sweep. sure, I can focus on Michael King and I can focus on this rotation and how good it was this first time around, or excuse me, not first time, this next time around that it was, because it was great. A lot of guys pitched, everyone pitched well this time around. And Michael King, if that's how he's going to pitch, well, the Juan Soto trade's looking good for the Padres. I mean, they used Thorpe in that Dylan Cease move, and we know the talent that Dylan Cease has. You get Michael King, someone multiple years of control. Soto was one. You needed more room to build out that roster. He wasn't going to sign long-term with the Padres. You do that, you still see yourself as a contender. This Soto trade could end up working out well for the Padres. Maybe they can get some sort of a team-friendly extension with Michael King. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. But yeah, if that's what they're going to get, great. But when you lose two of the three games, the offense doesn't do anything really in the second game that they won. I mean, the first inning, sure, couple hits, grand slam in the first inning. But after that, didn't score any runs. And these, the first game, the third game, they had opportunities to cash in and didn't, and they lose. Sure, today, I mean, it was wonky, right? Kim, terrible throw that he had. I believe that was not the same inning. That was not in the, it was the eighth inning, right? It was not in that bottom of the eighth inning there. But still made mistakes. Padres made mistakes. Giants were able to capitalize. Soler wasn't even a hard hit single. That's one of those where, what are you going to do about it? And the Conforto ground ball to Jake, there's one out in this situation in the eighth inning. Ground ball to Jake, touches the bag, throws it to Kim. Kim catches it, but then doesn't hold on to it on the slide by Soler into second base. And a run ends up scoring there, and it's 2-2. When the inning could have been over there if Kim was able to hold on to that ball there. That was an interesting play. That's not something that I think we should be panicked about, because we know how great of a defensive player Ha-Sung Kim is. But of course, after, the Giants take advantage of the inning continuing to go on. Matt Chapman singles, and Soler scores, the guy that was tagged out, but the ball ends up getting away. And Giants take the 3-2 lead, and the Padres, they end up not being able to score in the ninth inning with Camilo Duvall up. Pauly strikes out. Wade strikes out. Merrill, he got on base with the single, steals second, runner in scoring position, but then Campusano ends up striking out. Campusano's been one of the Padres' best hitters so far, so I'm not, like, mad that, oh, Campy was up in that spot. Didn't come through. Duvall's nasty. A couple guys before that struck out, like I mentioned, Pauly, Wade. It's the bottom of the order, though. Like, right now, those are the options that the Padres have. Pauly, he's not getting consistent at-bats, everyday at-bats. I know he homered off of Duvall at Petco last weekend, right? I know he did that, but Duvall's nasty. Duvall's probably going to get him more often than not. And then Tyler Wade, I mean, it's Tyler Wade. I appreciate what he's done so far, and it's been pleasantly surprising a little bit with the start that he's gotten off to, but anyone that thought that Tyler Wade was going to be like the starting third baseman, sustainable 400 on base percentage, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you don't know really who Tyler Wade is then, if that's what you thought. Wade's OPS is down to 678 after this game today. His on-base percentage is down to 360. I get them playing Wade. Like, the argument probably is he's better defensively than Pauly. He's the major league vet. But at some point, don't you want to see what you're going to get out of Graham Pauly if you give him consistent everyday at-bats instead of throwing Tyler Wade out there? It was one thing when Wade was producing, on-base percentage is high. I know it's not a super big sample size, but it's one thing when he was like, wow, okay, he's making things happen. With Pauly, I'm not saying that Pauly is lighting things up, but who's more of the Padres' future, more a bigger part of the Padres' future? Is it Graham Pauly or is it Tyler Wade? I think we all know the answer to that question. So I would give Pauly, if this guy is going to hit eighth in the lineup, seventh in the lineup, eighth most days with Merrill hitting ninth because Campy's starting at catcher. Would you rather have Pauly get the opportunities there in the eight hole or have Tyler Wade be the eight hole? My mentality is like, why not just give Graham Pauly the opportunities? If it doesn't happen, it's the eight hitter. You know, let's have the big guys in the lineup step up and be better, do their jobs. There's guys that have stepped up. You know, Ha-Sung Kim today, like he needs to be better overall. Manny needs to be better overall. But today, like Kim ended up having an RBI single. So that was good. But then it kind of got erased by what happened later in the game. Like Crony doing his job. He's hitting 304. Tatis, 858 OPS. But Bogarts, you'd like it to be better. Manny, you'd like it to be better. Kim, you'd like it to be better. Profar is kind of offsetting Kim a little bit, right? Because I don't think we're expecting Profar to be this good OPS-wise and Kim this bad. But like Profar, I view it like Tyler. I view Profar as better than Tyler Wade, but I view it like it's not, he's not going to have an 867 OPS the whole season. It's going to come back down a little bit to earth here. I think you take something that's 750, you take that OPS from Profar for sure. But these other guys step up. I don't know how Merrill's going to do. He has an 866 OPS. I don't know how good it's going to be the rest of the season. It's a long season. It's April 7th here. Feels like we're like mid-April, end of April, but it's really April 7th. We're still early April here. So there's a long way to go. But bottom line is they need more from this offense. You'd like more pop from this offense. But, I mean, this is the roster. Right now, I mean, it doesn't seem like they're going to go sign Tommy Pham. White Sox have some injuries, so they may go sign Tommy Pham. I still don't really understand why the White Sox would sign Tommy Pham. You know you're tanking. So why would you sign? So you're signing Tommy Pham to then trade him at the deadline. Like that, you're giving him millions of dollars to then sign him. Or excuse me, then trade him before the deadline, right? So you're pretty much paying millions to millions for a prospect, for a couple prospects maybe. I still don't understand why they took Steven Wilson. Maybe because they had to fill out their bullpen. Sorry, I'm looking at social media a little bit here because I'm a little behind because I was working a little bit earlier today, so I'm just trying to catch up here on maybe some of the reaction. Maybe there's quotes that are going to be out here. If there's anything that I should know, like maybe an article's out that I don't know of, you can let me know in the chat. Oh, I saw this. Shout out Will Holder. He said, when would Tommy Pham be able to start playing, assuming he signed sometime soon? Asking for a friend, me. And he tagged Tom, excuse me. He tagged Tommy in the tweet. And Tommy replied next day. So Tommy's ready. So it's in the Padres court is what he's kind of saying there. But the Padres don't want to give him what Tommy probably still wants. Padres probably are like, we'll give you a few mil. And Tommy's probably like, no, I want double that. And the Padres are like, well, Profar's playing well. Merrill's fine. Tatis. Merrill's more than fine for where he's at, considering circumstances. Tatis is doing well. Let's see if Pham gets desperate and we can get him for $3 million if no other team wants him. And let's see, you know, maybe there's an injury that happens. Maybe Profar comes back down to earth and we can get Pham on a deal that he doesn't want to sign, but no other team is signing him. So I guess we're still on fam watch there. But yeah, give me overall your thoughts on this series. I'm sure there's a lot of people. I know there's a lot of comments in the chat. Thank you all for joining the show here. Or not joining the show, but being a part of this show tonight. I'd like to talk more about the starting pitching, but I just have that bad taste in my mouth. And so I'm sorry to the Padres starters that have pitched well this time around in the rotation. Dylan Cease and Michael King and Holton today. I wasn't expecting him to go 5 1/3 and give up no earned runs. But there we go. He gives up 3 hits. Logan Webb gives up 10 hits. Who wins this game? Not the team that gave up 3 hits from their starter. The team that gave up 10 hits. The starter gave up 10 hits. That's who wins this game. That's Padres baseball for you. Wasn't it during the Cardinals series where either the Padres or the Cardinals, they went 0-for with runners in scoring position, and the team that went 0-for, they won the game. I think that was the Padres because they had home run. I think Campy homered that Sunday game. Maybe I'm totally mixing up dates here, but I think Campy homered in that game. Kim, I want to say, homered in that game. They just came through, but it wasn't with runners in scoring position. So you can win without coming through with runners in scoring position. So maybe I'm freaking out too much about the team runners in scoring position, but you're relying too much on long balls, on probably errors. You're relying too much on that if you're not going to come through with runners in scoring position. So there's a lot of 2023 flashbacks that we're seeing. But shout out to the starting pitching. Michael King, 7 innings, no runs. Dylan Cease, 6 innings, 2 runs. And Matt Waldron, 5 1/3, no earned runs. Like, great job out of them. I'll give you some applause. Unfortunately, your offense didn't do enough. All right, quick break. Sorry if I could talk. Quick break, and I will get to the chat. Check out Gaglione Bros' famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries on Friars Road. You can visit their website, gaglionebros.com, for their entire menu and enjoy their cheesesteaks and fries at Petco Park and Snapdragon Stadium as well. All righty. Diego, yep, totally agree. Frustrating. Irie says we're a 500 ball club at best until we add at least another plus bat. I mean, yes, that's the thought. And I think that, like, yeah, we'd like to have another bat. That would be nice. But adding another bat does not just totally eliminate that Manny Machado is struggling. It doesn't totally eliminate that Ha-Sung Kim needs to be better, that Xander Bogaerts needs to be better and not have a 591 OPS. You know, adding another bat does not guarantee that the Padres offense all of a sudden is going to be great and back up the starting pitching. Tommy Pham could come in here and do what Ha-Sung Kim's doing. He could come in here and do what Manny's doing, do what Bogaerts is doing. You know, there's proven guys around the league that struggle. It is the big leagues. I don't want to make it seem like the big leagues is easy. Like, don't get me wrong. I understand. I don't understand because I'm not in the box. I haven't been in a big league batter's box to face, you know, Logan Webb today, right? But I can see watching it and being at games and seeing velocity and being a big baseball fan and reading a bunch of articles, watching a bunch of games. I can see that it's hard. So I don't mean to be like, Manny, I mean, what are you doing here, dude? But when you're getting paid that much money and I'm a fan, I'm reacting alongside you guys. Yeah, I'm pissed off when guys don't do their jobs good enough. I get it. Their job is not like some other people's job where maybe you go into work and you're just doing the same job over and over again. Like, it's hard, but there's a reason why they get paid millions of dollars. You know, it's to be prepared to face all these 97 mile per hour pitchers and the break that they have. You know, it's a lot of reacting, a lot of adjusting in real time in 0.1 second. Like, I get it. But just, I'm sitting here as a fan. I'm not in the front office. I'm not in the clubhouse. Sitting here as a fan, I'm irritated and pissed off by the offense's inconsistency. You know, they scored 12 runs in 3 innings in that Sunday game that I go to last weekend. And then they do nothing for the last eight innings of yesterday's game. You know, four runs, let's say, right? Four runs, the grand slam. And then they do nothing after that. Who is even pitching? Wynn? Who is Wynn? Keaton Wynn for the Giants was pitching. And when you have a 5.73 ERA, including yesterday's outing, 5.73 ERA this year, 4.89 career. I know he had pitched well against the Padres out of the bullpen. I saw that stat yesterday. Went to Iowa Western Community College. Fifth round draft pick. Pick 136. Is it dumb for me to be asking Manny Machado and Xander Bogaerts and Fernando, like this lineup, others as well, obviously, to be asking them to put better production up other than the first inning? And some may be like, well, Ben, they put up four runs and you still find a way to complain. I'm not that fan where I find every little thing to complain about, but it's not like they're, how many games have we played so far? 12 games. It's not like they're 7-5. They're 5-7. It's not like they're 9-3 or 8-4. They're 5-7. And there's some games that did they really deserve pitching wise? Yeah. But did they deserve to win yesterday's game? Because the offense did nothing in eight of the nine innings, you know, like, sure, they won the first inning, but what about the rest? Like, there's some games where kind of neither team deserved to win, but some team has to win. And the Padres have won some of those games. There was the Seoul series where the offense was great, but the pitching was not. So did they deserve to win? Like, one side deserved to win, but the other side didn't. But someone has to win the game. So I guess, as you can tell, I'm more of a worrier this season than I was at this time last year, because I was of the mindset, yeah, things are going to turn around, whatever, it'll be fine. But this year, coming off of last year especially, I'm having a hard time of doing that. Of being, the offense, it'll be fine, whatever. I'll praise when things deserve to be, like, offensively, guys that deserve to be praised. Jake Cronenworth, what a freaking start this guy is off to. And I hope that this is not just a start for him. I hope that this is the entire year. Not hitting over 300. I understand that that's probably not going to happen. But continuing to be himself, love it. Jake, great start. Comeback player of the year. Padres comeback player of the year, at least. For sure. Could definitely see that. Jackson Merrill, Luis Camposano. Great. Tatis, pretty good start. But then there's other guys that kind of outweigh my optimistic side right now. Like, that's just how I'm feeling. You haven't won a series yet. And I get it. They play the Dodgers, Cardinals trying to win the NL Central, Giants competing for a playoff spot is what we would think. Yeah, I get it. But we're trying to be in that same boat as well. And so it's just frustrating right now. Master Raven says, embarrassing series versus San Francisco. What's going on with Kim, Manny, and a few others? Irie says, Kim swinging for that payday ain't working out for him too well. Brent says, at least Kim playing his way back into our price range. Maybe. I don't know. I feel like he's just going to be the Giant shortstop next year, and that's going to freaking suck. Diego, I agree. Too much talent on this team to be playing like this. Offensively, for sure. Joe Bat says, this team can be really good. Timely hitting is killing them. Yes. Master Raven says, doesn't Ha-Sung Kim deserve to get paid? He does, but I'm still struggling with how much. A little less than the Dansby contract with the Cubs? Or less than $100 million. Like, there's a big gap there, you know? I haven't arrived at a decision there on that yet. Yes, that Ha-Sung Kim throw was terrible. That was one where like Crony just doesn't even jump. Like it's just terrible. Just go to the net and go pick it up. Don't even try. Don't go strain something. Mike says, this is who the offense is. The same as last year, minus 300 bat. What's the big surprise?
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, I think we were expecting, including myself, I was expecting Manny to bounce back and be better than he is right now. I was expecting Kim to at least be as good as he was last year. I think expecting him to improve, I mean, he keeps getting better. So I just think there were high expectations on Kim. And it's still, there's a long way to go in this year. So he can turn it around and be one of the Padres' best offensive producers. Same thing with Manny. But it's just not off to a good start. So I think the surprise is, I think, the optimistic fans going into the year. Like, no, these guys will be better. Guys are healthy. And that's where they'll find the run production. And it just hasn't all clicked right now, right? Yeah. Wifty Scent says, I'm scared. I feel like we're literally in 2023 continued. We're seeing that for sure. I mean, Blake Snell, some great outings there. Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo, some great outings there. Joe Musgrove, some great outings there before he got on the IL. And the offense just was maddening. It was so frustrating to watch last year. And some of these games have been frustrating. Super Chats jumped to the front of the line, by the way. Wifty Cent says, thanks for all the streams, dude. Thank you. Thank you for the Super Chat. Thank you for the support. Thank you, everybody, for being here 9:44 p.m. on a Sunday night. You could be asleep right now, but you're choosing to be sitting here with me talking Padres baseball for some reason. So I thank you for doing that. I'm just a Padres fan, pretty much venting today because I'm just frustrated with a series loss to the Giants where the pitching perform, they show up and you can't get a series win out of it. They have yet to win a series, and now they welcome a Cubs team home. The Cubs team isn't going home. They're coming to San Diego, and the Cubs are a team that is, you know, their mind is to go win the NL Central. So we'll see how this series ends up playing out before it doesn't get any easier, before they go to Dodger Stadium to face off against the Dodgers. Let's see here. Joe Bat says, Kim to lead off, Merrill fifth, Bogarts ninth. Okay, that's not happening. Merrill, I don't know. Yeah, Merrill, they're not going to have him hit fifth. I think if you're going to move someone up, it's Campy. And I get the Ha-Sung Kim, have him lead off. Like, Bogarts isn't doing that well either. I mean, I guess at this point, I wouldn't be opposed to trying it because why not? It's not like Bogarts is, you know, torching it up in that leadoff spot. And Kim performed well in that leadoff spot last year, so maybe that's what would get him going. I don't know. I thought he was going to get some good pitches to hit, hitting behind Manny, because people don't want to pitch to Manny, right? You wouldn't think. But so far, it's been underwhelming. Is he kind of doing the Jake Cronenworth? Is he trying to do too much? Maybe I should focus more on, like, the Kim, his swings. What do his swings look like? I've been focused on the results a little bit, maybe too much. This Cubs series, I'll probably focus on, like, what do the swings look like? Is he trying to be someone that he's not? Like, we know Crony was that last year, and that's not what he is this year. And look how it's working out. Really good. JD's third with the super chat. Appreciate you. Says no series wins. This is a 75-79 win team at best. Well, if the offense continues to be inconsistent, then yeah, maybe. But then even last year when they were maddening, they had that September run in them. So I still think that they could win more than 75 games, even if the offense is frustrating. But how many? The question is, how many wins will it take to get into the postseason as that wild card? One of the wild card teams. Is it 84? Is it 82? Like, what is it going to be? I feel like it's going to be more than 80. And these are games that you can't get back, obviously. All right, a reminder of some of the great partners of the show, Breaking Tea. They've got some great Padres, Aztecs, and Wave shirts and sweatshirts. Link in the description there. Underdog Fantasy. I don't believe I got my selection right today. Let me double check. While I check that, 100% deposit match up to $100. Code Talking Friars. Click that link in the description for Underdog Fantasy. I can actually just check it right here on my laptop. Profar. No, I actually got that correct. My phone's not loading, so I wonder if I got the... I probably didn't because Iowa lost. What a day for me, huh? Iowa. I was rooting for Iowa. Big Caitlin Clark fan. I'm not just a Caitlin Clark fan, but I'm a fan of just Iowa, what they've done this year and the story of the last 2 years. Like, I'm not just there for the Caitlin Clark show. I'm there for Hannah Stolke and Kate Martin and Gabby Marshall. And I know some Padres fans are like, who the heck are these people? What are you talking about? But getting, you know, those, just the state of Iowa being like the central basketball, you know, where like the center of basketball, everyone came there. I think that was such a great story. And I love, like, sports are about great stories. And I think, like, transitioning to the Padres, them putting together a great year, like, that's a great story. You know, sure, you got the Dodgers that people are going to talk about, the D-backs, World Series appearance. But to have an underdog, the Padres, to go win, like, that would be amazing. And Iowa was going up against South Carolina today, and it was close at halftime, and then they end up losing, which it sucks. They back-to-back years losing in the championship game So Iowa loses, Padres lose. What a day for me. Man. Hopefully tomorrow's better. Padres can get a win. Hopefully UConn does not win the championship tomorrow. I don't need them going back-to-back. Not a fan of UConn. Where was I? Oh, yeah, SeatGeek. Code TalkingFriars, $20 off your order. Sorry, this kind of just turned into a Ben rant, not just about the Padres, but about other sports as well. But, hey, it's my show, whatever. Let's see. Continuing to go through the chat here. I am all over the place tonight. I apologize. Oceanside Boy 760 says, who's to blame for us losing? The offense? Ahsung Kim? Yeah. It's not Matt Waldron. It's not the starting pitching this series. I know that the offense can't score 7 runs a game every game, but I don't think I'm asking too much for them to be just a little bit better than they are right now, consistently. They probably need to be a lot better, but for now, just I'll take a little bit. You know, let's get a series win. When's that going to happen? Yeah, timely hitting is to blame. I agree with that, Joe Bats. Joe Bats says we have to get fam, right? This lineup needs some juice. Well, but like I said earlier, it's not a guarantee that fam comes in and he hits like Jake Cronenworth. He could end up hitting like Manny or like Kim and be underwhelming right now. And that's more money spent on a guy that's not helping. I'd like the fam move. I'd like that addition. I think that improves your depth. Because Profar then moves into a versatile bench role. You want to slide people over? You can have Profar play first. If you want Crony at second, Bogart at short, Kim at third while Manny's DHing. If you want to avoid Tyler Wade, Graham Pauly playing, you know? And you have Pham in left, you have Merrill in center, Tatis in right. It helps things. It improves that depth. But the Padres right now, they're probably like, Pham, we don't want to pay you $7 million, $6 million, we'll pay you a few, but we're not doing that right now. We've got Profar performing pretty well. And if we're going to go anywhere, we need our bigger guys to be better, some of our bigger guys. So we're fine with what we have right now. Just bottom line, those guys need to step up and be better. Diego with the super chat, thank you. Says Cubs series predictions. Well, I'm going to have to look at the pitching matchups more on that, which I can pull up right now. The Cubs, by the way, what'd they do today? Whoa, they actually beat the Dodgers. They scored 8 runs on the Dodgers today. So awesome. They're coming in feeling good coming into San Diego. Just what we need. So Darvish starts for the Padres on Monday against Assad. Cubs are 6-3, Padres 5-7. So 6:40 is the start time tomorrow for that. And then Tuesday, Musgrove against TBD so far. That's why it's at 7:05. It's a TBS game. Wednesday at 3:40, Dylan Cease against Kyle Hendricks. So Hendricks is not who he used to be, not high velocity, but the Padres, if you watch every day, right, you've seen them run into the non-high velo guys, and it hasn't worked out that well. Sometimes they mash off of them, and so I hope that's what happens against Kyle Hendricks. But then there's some times where the guy's throwing 91, and it's just frustrating that they don't do much off of that guy. So I'll predict the Padres win the series. I like Darvish going. I hope you can win the Wednesday game, Cease against Hendricks. And then Musgrove, I hope they can sweep this series, you know? You got Darvish, Musgrove, and Cease, your top three guys, and the Cubs don't have their top three guys going, I don't think. They definitely don't have all three of their top three going. So, yeah, go win this series. It'll be another disappointing pod on Wednesday night. If the Padres can't get a series win at home against the Cubs, I know the Cubs are off to a good start, but come on, win a series. MW says, wave Wade, bring Marcy up. If there's someone they're not going to wave Wade. They would send Eggy down, probably. And I don't think that they would bring Marcy up at this point. I mean, the minor league season just started, so they're probably not going to bring Marcy up unless an injury happens until at least May to give him some at-bats down there, a good chunk of at-bats there in the minor leagues. Yeah. Tyler Wade was hitting .444 last week. It's Epic 882 points out. Yeah. Guess what? It's a small sample size. And it's still a small sample size. You know, we're not even close to a month's worth of games yet, you know. But I think that another week has just given Tyler Wade more of an opportunity to come back down to who he actually is. MW asks, y'all think Schilt's too soft on the big egos? I'm not going to speak on that right now because we just don't know. There's no reports out about, oh, the whole Melvin stuff that happened last year, you know, that's not out. I mean, it's April 7th. I don't think he's soft on the big egos. I mean, I hope not in that clubhouse. Talking to the media, sure, he's been positive, but that's who he is. That's who, especially at the beginning of the year, that's who he's going to be. And sure, that can be irritating because you want him to just tell the truth, but he's not going to air out his guys publicly when it's April 7th. That's a way to piss off the clubhouse. That's not what you want to do if you're the manager. I'm a fan. So it's one thing for me to do it, or for John and Jim to do it, or Ben and Woods, for any talk show host, you guys in the chat, for you guys to do it, for fans on social media to do it. But the manager talking to the media publicly, he's not going to do that on April 7th, especially when you're Mike Schilt, I think he's someone that thinks really optimistically about things. And when they lose, he wants to point out, hey, you know, let's give props to this guy. What a job he's been doing. He's way better to listen to in press conferences than Bob Melvin. I'll say that. But things could change if this is 2023 and indeed all over again. Let's see here. Seeing if there's anything I should bring up in the chat here. One thing I wanted to bring up, by the way, was Fred Ullman Jr., assistant GM, stepping down, retiring from the Padres organization. Bob Nightingale wrote about that in his notes thing today for USA Today. And he was talking about how Fred Ullman, like, this was his choice. He was offered a job back scouting for the Padres, or he could have been in the same spot. And he said that Fred Ullman Jr. wants a new challenge. And it's going to be the first time that he'll be challenged in decades because he's been with the Padres for so long. And Fred was talking about how AJ was great and all that. But do I really buy that? So you're stepping away from the Padres. You could just go scout, which seems like is what you want to do. And you know the farm system. You know all about the organization. You can live in San Diego. Wouldn't you want to just stay with the Padres and go scout if that's what you want to do? And AJ's offering you that opportunity. You want to have to learn a new organization after spending so much time in the Padres organization? Maybe he's just a different mind and he actually does want that. That just seems like you're making your life harder than making it easier, or, you know, taking on a new challenge. So I don't know how much I buy that of Fred Ullman Jr. being like, no, AJ, not a problem. He was great. And him stepping away. When there's been multiple pieces out, obviously, of the problems that AJ Preller can, the problems that he is in the organization to some people that work in the organization, about how he is tirelessly working. And I love that about AJ, but that's also something that could be a weakness as well to people that work in that organization. You always have to be on with AJ. He's always trying to improve, always trying to talk to you and think of ways, tinkering, right? And some people may not want that. Maybe Fred, being with AJ for almost a decade now as the assistant GM, maybe done with that. Or maybe we should take him at his word and everything was completely fine with him and AJ. But I think that's weird to step down and be like, well, I'm still interested in scouting, and maybe if an opportunity pops up somewhere else, I don't know. I just not so sure I buy it that much. I'd probably buy it more if there weren't pieces out in the past about AJ. But that was just something that maybe some fans don't care about at all, but it's something that as a diehard fan, and I love the Padres and I pay attention to everything, it's something that I wanted to at least bring up for that diehard fan that maybe was interested in that as well. Like, what the heck happened there? We don't know. We don't really know what happened there. But the story is that Fred stepped down, retiring with the Padres. He's fine. Like, there was nothing, no, like, ill will towards the Padres. He says, like, there's no problem. He wants that new challenge. I'm just not so sure that I buy that totally. All right, anything else here in the chat? Yeah, so John says here, why was Johnny Brito the guy to come into in the eighth inning? I think he's talking about today's game. Yeah, and he had the blown save, which is his third blown save of the year, by the way. Yeah, there's other guys to go to there. Sure, it's early, but they could have gone to Robert Suarez if they wanted to just throw him 30 pitches again. And then, but he did throw yesterday, so they weren't going to do that this early. So that's not really realistic. But I'm going to pull up my bullpen chart right now. So in that spot, Matsui had already been used. Kolek had already been used. They could have went with Cosgrove. They could have went with Wandy. Right? Yeah, I'm on the right game. I was making sure I was on the right game. They could have went with Wandy. Now, Wandy, it's been shaky there. So maybe they wanted to just stay away from Wandy. And Brito, they may have been like, we're getting Brito in this game. Like Suarez on April... I guess 3rd and 6th, but April 6th, really. He hadn't pitched in a little bit. They were going to get him in that game. With Brito, maybe they were like, we're getting him in this game, just don't know when. Because he had not pitched in at least 5 days. On my bullpen chart, I only keep track of the reliever pitch counts the last 5 days leading into that day's game. So for like today, for example, April 7th, I kept track of the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th. No pitches from Brito. So it had been a little bit. So that's probably part of why they went with Johnny Brito. And maybe that's part of the problem is they need to pitch him more consistently so that he can get, you know, comfortable and get confident in that bullpen role that he's going to be in. And Diego asks about Brito, by the way. Hey, Ben, do you think Johnny Brito should be relied on in high pressure situations? Several outings so far, and I'm not sure I really trust him. I would not put him in those high leverage situations right now. If I had to pick three guys right now, I'd go with Robert Suarez, I'd go with Tom Cosgrove, and I'd go with Yuki Matsui. Those are my three right now. That could change. I want Wandy Peralta to be in there, but he's been a little iffy right now, you know? I'm a big believer in Cosgrove. Some may not, but I'm a big believer in Cosgrove. Diego says two positives from today, Matt Waldron pitching his heart out and Jackson Merrill, the kid, having himself a day. Yep. Yep. Those are positives. like, I don't want to be viewed as like a downer, because I think fans that watch this show, they listen to this show, they know that I'm not a downer and I try to be optimistic. But I don't know, today my mood, it's hard for me to be optimistic, I guess, when you lose this series to the Giants and in the fashion that you lost it. And while I was positive last night in the postgame reaction, because, hey, they got the win, Michael King pitched well. I mean, they did nothing offensively in those last eight innings. And then today happens, and the Giants home opener, that game happened, and it's just frustrating. Let's see here. Anything else to bring up? Mike says, for this next series, Padres are at home, so that's a huge disadvantage, especially if there are sellouts. Yeah, it does seem like that, huh? I'm sure there's plenty of fans that are out there like, whenever I go to games, and you probably don't have season tickets, you go to games and the Padres lose. They don't do enough offensively. Yeah. It's frustrating. Life of a Padres fan, right? But I just keep telling myself, and hopefully you guys are as well, it's just going to be that much sweeter when the Padres win it all, because we're not on a bandwagon here. I'm sorry. I'm way behind on the chats. I just, like today, for example, I just went on my vent session and then I go to the chat and just go all the way through the chat. It's hard for me. I'm one person here, so it's hard for me to like control and keep track of the chat, because I love this. You guys are talking amongst yourself, so the chat goes fast. So it's hard for me to make my points, go through the series, and keep track of the chat. So I just go to the top, go all the way through the chat for things that stick out after I'm done with like my opening monologue, vent session. Yeah, I agree with this, Lizzie. I'd go Brito in more low leverage spots as of now. Maybe that builds back his confidence, like fix some things. I'm not saying he has to be sent down, but I would not be putting him in the eighth inning in a big spot right now. And I'd pitch him more often. Now, maybe like that's easier said than done. So if you pitch him more often, you have to put him in a high leverage spot at some point, because that's just the string of games that you're in. There's high leverage spots maybe, but I would not have him. Let me see his game logs. Pulling that up right now. Hold on 1 second. Let's see. I would not have him go a gap of April 1st to April 7th. He pitched April 1st, an inning, gave up a home run, two earned runs, and then he didn't pitch again until today, where he went two-thirds of an inning and gave up two runs. I would pitch him a little bit more consistently than that. And maybe he can find a little bit of a groove there. I don't know. There's a reason why I'm not the manager. And yeah, you're right. Can't use the same three relievers all the time. I understand that. But there were guys that were available. Cosgrove was available. Matsui, he had already pitched. They had already gone to him. But De Los Santos was available even. I'd go to him right now over Johnny Brito. That's where I'm at right now. All right, that's it. Talking Friars episode 583. I'm sure that I could have covered a whole lot more, but man, I'm just really stuck on like the frustration of this offense. And if the offense comes through in this Cubs series, pitching pitches well, I'll probably spend more time on the pitching and praising the pitching. But tonight, just where my mind's at, just frustrated with the lack of consistent production on offense, and some of the other guys need to be better. Just to be frank, they got to be better. So, all right. Hopefully everyone has a good rest of their night, good rest of their day. If you're listening or watching this on Monday, pregame thoughts, postgame reaction back on Monday for the game against the Cubs. But yeah, thanks so much for tuning in. I appreciate everyone for taking the time to do so. I definitely do not take it for granted. And yeah, that's it. See ya.